I was paid to put on a killer show.
I just want a picture of a goddamn hot dog.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. It is January 27th, 2022, and we are doing yet another edition of the Very Interesting Show. And I gotta tell you guys, we have just the pinnacle of content on the docket for you. In fact, I'll show you guys some of the these are my show notes right here. So we've got lots of stuff. Yeah, it's just so much stuff to get to, and I will end here. You can even take a look at all that. No, now,
please
here. So take a look at that. We've got just the pinnacle of content to get to, and I will outline all of that right now. So Justin, of course, had to add and lots of it, but we do have some stuff to get to tonight because I want to go over some this video with you guys that China just put out, where of course the Beijing Olympics are going to be happening next month, and I want to put you guys to the test here, and I want to see if your cringe sensors are up there, are cranked up to 11, or whether or not you think that this is maybe fine and this is not cringe at all. So towards the end of the show, we're going to go over the China Beijing Olympics video. Plus, our favorite character has returned, ladies and gentlemen. And if you have
it
never heard
OG
of
official.
Sheriff Grady Judd before, then my God, I'm not going to lie. He's part of the reason that I wanted to that I was a little strapped for stuff to talk about today was because A, it was a slow news week, and B, I've talked about all of that news already over the last 3 days on Simulation Radio Live, and yet here we are, a mere hour before the show, Sheriff Grady Judd descends down from the heavens and gives a press conference.
He's probably my favorite sheriff.
He is. I love him so much. And this content not only inspired the game show that we're going to play tonight,
very nice,
but also I do want to talk about this very, very fine police work that he did over in Polk County. So let's start off as we usually do. How you fellas doing? Johnny Horndog, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing brilliantly. Early day today. Early out tomorrow. I'm gonna have a great time.
I noticed that you guys got home at around, and I know you probably got home because you worked early today, Justin, but you, John, got home at, you know, like 3 o'clock today, so it was a nice early day. It's gonna be an early day tomorrow. You have anything planned for your longish weekend?
Yeah, so the team that I work with, we're going to be going to the Keg Social down the road, throwing some axes, playing some games, and eating and drinking and be merry. And then we also have some friends who are coming up from South Florida that we're going to be getting into some debauchery with this weekend.
Debauchery? Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure as to whether or not that's supposed to be debauchery or debauchery.
It's
or
probably debauchery.
It's a blatant mispronunciation because it's funny. I'm still not entirely sure how the English language works out sometimes.
Especially when it's stolen from, I'm pretty sure that's stolen from French.
More than likely.
Language.
So, Superman, how are you doing over there?
I'm hanging in there, man. I got my cape and all. So
you don't sound like you're doing the
no.
Most
I've got
hot right
I've
now.
Got some congestion. I got some congestion problems going
Jesus,
on.
Jesus, do we need to be concerned? Do we all need to go buy an at-home test?
No,
now?
I don't think so. This has been something that has been kind of festering since like late last weekend.
That doesn't mean that it's not COVID. Like,
no, it's really not. It's literally just a slight sore throat and some congestion. That's it. No other symptoms. No digestive concerns. No headache. Not feverish. No chills. No nothing else. It's just a head cold.
I'll take your word for it, and I will choose not to go get tested and to continue to go out in public and live life. And
I mean, listen, I've been at work like all week this week.
You're really
nobody's
concerned
out
about
for
this.
COVID at work right now. Nobody else is kind of really sick. I think it just got like, you know, weather has changed recently, so like, you know, bouts of the ick goes around. It's just happened that I got
the most prevalent ick, and then now I'm getting a more common ick that's not really talked about as much anymore.
So I have an update on the debauchery situation. Debauchery, and you were right, Justin. It is French.
Makes sense.
Good work. And I'm here talking about how it relates to the English language, where
and the English language is—it's all relative. It is the mutt of all languages.
So what you're saying is that we're going to need some kryptonite to drive out sickness in there.
This is my kryptonite right now. Like it's,
and there's no need for that too, because when we play a game show, you're looking at your kryptonite right here, Superman. I'm taking you down.
We will have a side bet for our game show tonight.
Ooh,
because
a 3-point spread, so we'll see.
We're bringing back a classic. Now, for fans of the old show, we haven't done this in a hot second, but we're going to be, at the end of our show, doing a yet another robot AI script. Now, for those that are not familiar, what this robot does is it's an AI algorithm. Hey, I didn't ask your opinion yet. That takes in 1,000 hours of a certain type of content and then outputs a script for it. And we've all been watching this show that this AI script is based off of. It's one of my favorite shows, and there's a very prominent character in it. And the winner of tonight's game show will get to pick who gets to play that prominent character, because I feel like this is a highly coveted role that could propel you into Hollywood stardom,
right,
even potentially. So we're going to have to, I'm going to throw that up for grabs.
I'm looking forward to it.
The Let's Play game show tonight. So a potential Hollywood career could be on your horizon. So that's no pressure or anything, but that is what's at stake tonight, is the ability to move directly to Hollywood and just live there and probably not make a lot of money and kind of flounder for a little while. But that's the life. That's the life right there. So I would like to not speak for everybody here, but at least personally, I don't know about you guys, but I got a much better round of sleep this week than I did last week. I know last week we talked heavily about, at least you and me, John, getting just really, really shit sleep. But it's gone a lot better this week. And the thing about getting better sleep is how easy it is to fall into REM sleep, and the insane quality and quantity, because I'm having like 2 or 3 a night, of dreams that I've been having lately. Now, I told you about this one of the funniest dreams that I've had over the weekend, and I figure, you know, let me just lock that one in the vault, save that one for Thursday real quick. And I have some advice for anybody that happens to run into kindred spirits out there in their dreams. If anybody has maybe out of body experiences or just runs into ghosts or is afraid of ghosts, Well, some people are, and I've got a tip for you now that I discovered personally, and I'm going to share this with all of you on the off chance that you happen to meet a ghost in your dreams or even in the real world. I feel like this could also apply there. So I've been having some really weird like sleep paralysis issues lately, where I'll know that I'm laying in bed sleeping, and I'll like know that I'm sleeping, and yet I'll still somehow be in the middle of a dream. And during one of those like mid-dream sleep paralysis things, one of the ghost characters from a dream that I was having, and I'll contextualize this a little bit. This ghost was a very spicy one. Apparently, the only thing that he would haunt about people is when you walked into the bathroom and you closed the door behind you, what this ghost would do is he would grab your collar or grab the back of your shirt or whatever and just kind of pull it so that you can't walk up to the toilet and you just have to pee endlessly. And I know that sounds like horror. No, I've got to pee so bad. But this ghost is not having any of that. And he chased me outside of the dream into the temporary sleep paralysis state in between the dream and real life. Mm-hmm. And so I was laying there in bed, and this ghost was kind of, I felt like he was laying next to me. He was kind of creepily like feeling up on me in bed, kind of like how you would be spooning with somebody, except this is not a positive relationship. But it could have turned out to be. But I am at a loss. Like, I'm really creeped the fuck out. I am unable to wake up, too, with this ghost, like, kind of sitting there feeling on me in my dream. And so I don't know what compelled me to say this. I don't know what compelled these next words to come out of my mouth. But
so this is while he's spooning up against you.
Yes, this is while he's spooning up against you. Me. Yeah, he is. He's reaching out.
Is he saying anything to you?
No, he's really not. But
just a silent ghost just filling you up.
It was.
Copping a feel, huh?
There was some moaning there, but not sexual moaning. It was more like haunty moaning and
ghostly pain.
Yeah,
moaning.
Yeah, ghostly pain moaning. Like somebody might have killed him a couple of times in a past life, and now he is walking between here and the netherworld endlessly, and has just so chosen.
He's trying to make a friend.
Yeah. So I look over to him while he's like feeling me up in bed, and of course I'm sleep paralyzed. I can't do anything about this except use my words and turn my head over, and I stare at this ghost, and I just tell him, "Hey, nice cock." And
that's what did it.
That's what did it. The ghost like recoiled in horror, as though
like you were the one haunting him.
He must have been homophobic.
Like, fucking weirdo.
Somehow this homophobic ghost was feeling up on another male individual. But I mean, I'm not gonna judge. That's not how this works. But
just bro love. Yeah, at this point,
it
just took it to a new level that he was not comfortable with.
It is. It was a bro spoon. That's what it was.
So if you guys are out there being tormented and haunted by ghosts out there, there's only one thing you need to know. Just reply, nice dick. Was it nice dick? Nice dick? Nice cock?
It was nice dick, but yeah, I liked nice cock better. And honestly, I feel like that is the piece of advice that I'm going to offer. So if you have a ghost haunting you, ladies and gentlemen, which this might be the best advice that I've ever given on the show, the most real, but you need to tell that ghost that he has a nice dick. You need to flatter it. And because that was enough to cause this ghost to recoil in horror. And I recall it like a fucking rag doll, or like this, the ring type ghost, like that fucking creepy ass demon, like where it's just, nobody click that and send that to me and use that against me. But,
I feel like
it recoiled in horror, and it like left and came into the studio, and then I woke up. So there might be a ghost with a nice cock floating around the studio still. I'm not entirely sure about this.
He's in our fourth chair.
He is. He is. In fact, let me show you guys the identity of this ghost with a nice cock. We might not be able to see his nice cock, but look, there he is right there.
And his name is John Cena.
Yeah, he's right there haunting us right at this very moment. So fortunately, I am well aware of the fact that he has a nice dick now. And so I'm able to use that against him.
Is this the first time that you've had these kind of sleep paralysis situations? Or?
It is. Only in the last like month or two have I started having this weird sleep paralysis type issue. Because I was at my other friend's house, who just moved to New Smyrna and like kind of lives in a farmhouse now. And it's really nice. It's just out living off the fat of the land. And I slept over there one night, and I had another weird sleep paralysis thing where I was haunted by like something. There was some other presence in that room next to me.
That's usually what they say. If there's some kind of entity attached to or that you experience, it usually will attach itself to a person and not a location.
Yeah.
Usually.
That's what's weird about it. But I mean, I ended up waking up. What that ghost did was that ghost tried to like choke me, and of course I couldn't do anything about that in my sleep at the time. And that look, after
yes, Daddy Ghost.
After I woke up and after I felt the, you know, the heebie-jeebies for a little while, then, you know, that's how I naturally responded to that situation.
Yeah, yes, I must masturbate.
Because I myself, I don't know if I've ever told a story about my sleep paralysis situation. I don't know, Justin, have you had a sleep paralysis situation yourself?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall. Mm. Definitely not lately.
And it's like interesting because while you're in it, you feel like you're awake. You feel like you're completely lucid. but
exactly,
just something out of this world is present. You just thought of something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessary. I wouldn't, definitely not a sleep, maybe a sleep paralysis instance, but not like a sleep paralysis demon or entity. Just realizing that I was asleep and having that, like, that sensation of falling, but in having a lucid moment with that. And you know how they say if you like get to the bottom when you're falling, you die.
Yeah.
And that's why your body wakes up. Well, on a couple of different occasions, I've been able to get to the bottom, hit bottom.
And stay there, because what you just said, and I'll elaborate, is that they say that you wake up because your body, I don't know if you know this, Justin, you might.
Yeah.
Well, that your body's like pressure, like blood pressure or something, is dropping at such a rapid rate that it thinks that you're about to die.
Right.
And so it startles you awake.
It'll instinctively like, or involuntarily twitch certain muscles in your body so that it jerks you awake. And that's what that sensation is. However, I have had moments where it still had that sinking feeling, which I used to kind of do this as a kid whenever I was falling asleep, and that's kind of what helped me have like a lot of very lucid dreams when I was a child. I would realize that I was falling asleep as I was falling asleep,
mm-hmm.
and then I would be able to like navigate my dreams on my own.
Have you been able to fly during those? Because I've been.
Oh, yes.
Those are the best.
Yeah, so like, you know the book Falling Up?
I heard of it.
The children's book. It's like a culmination of like short stories or poems and things like this. But anyway, I think it was like inspired from that, like just like walking or like starting off as like a walk and then just like taking a step on air and then taking off into the sky.
Those are the best. But you had one situation that you hit the bottom and then you didn't just wake up. Is that
right?
What you
said? So what happened was it was just like all these like vibrant colors, not necessarily like. Almost not like the geometric shapes that you see like if you're on like psychedelics or anything like that, but
pretty colors,
just like vibrant colors and like just like these rushing images and things like that that are you know rolling through the brain. It just all of a sudden you get to this point and it's not really like you smack or like you hit, it just all of a sudden there's just like this just sudden stop of that sensation. And everything just kind of fades out, like the your mind's eye just kind of like shuts, I guess.
And then you wake up, all with just like creeps, and you're just rock hard at the same time.
It, not quite. it just everything basically just fades to black. And it felt like I stayed that way for like a good, like 30 or 40 minutes. It was probably only like 30 or 40 seconds.
Right. But in that dream state,
but in that lucid state, you're just like it's exactly that. You're just suspended in nothingness. So it's, I don't want to say it was like almost like glimpsing the beyond, like because like you know when you die, nothing happens, right? So I'm just kidding. I don't believe that. I definitely believe in like your consciousness going other places. But anyway,
DMT world.
It was just that. It was just black nothingness. And then because of that, like, extended time in that state of having nothing, like, I wasn't even thinking anything. It was just nothing.
Mm.
And then some anxiety started to creep in.
Right.
And then it was like, well, how long is this going to stay? Is this what forever is? Is this? And then my mind started waking up and started racing with these types of thoughts. And then I woke up and everything was fine.
There's nothing like there's nothing like that moment that you snap back into consciousness and wake up and that, oh, thank God, I'm back. It's a little bit liberating. So my advice, I can't say that it's real advice to anybody, but you have to flatter the demons that haunt you. And you also kind of have to flatter them in sexually creepy ways. And if I were to sum up my advice, it's to... It's to do that. It's to creep out the ghost harder than they're creeping you out.
So I don't know if I've ever told my sleep paralysis story on air, and I will at this moment, but this was way back when I was like a manager of a T-Mobile store. Would you say right now, Cameron, that you're like feeling pretty stressed? Is that fair to say?
Like in general life at the moment?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Not really.
Really? Okay. Because a lot of people say that these are more likely to happen if you're feeling a lot of stress.
Some anxiety. Elevated stress.
In fact, this is one of the least stressed that I've ever been in my entire life is this period right now. And that's what's causing all the, I'm having some really, because I know me and you, Justin, have talked about like the ridiculously vivid dreams that you've been having lately. I've had that similar level of dream state lately. And yet somehow, IRL, this is like, some of the best mental clarity and least amount of stress that I've like ever had ever.
Interesting. So. Well, in my situation, I was super stressed. I was managing a store. I was having relationship issues at the time with my girlfriend at that time. I think this must have been back in like 2013, something like that. But I'm laying there next to my girlfriend and I'm just staring up at the ceiling when at the corner of my eye, I see in the threshold of the doorway, an enormous spider just kind of just make its way into my room. And so I'm just kind of looking at it, side-eyeing it, and it's slowly creeping above me, above us. We're laying in bed together, and it stops right above us. I'm like, you better fucking don't. You better
don't
not
you
just
dare.
Stand on us. But sure enough, the spider descends from the ceiling. I rip my girlfriend out of bed, who's in a dead sleep at the time. I rip her out of bed. Covering her, like trying to protect her or whatever. And she's like, What happened? I was like, the fucking spider. The fucking spider is huge. It's like this fucking big. And she's just like, What fucking spider? Then I realized I was like, shit, I was just dreaming. And she was a good sport about it. She's like, well, at least I know you'd save me if an enormous spider was descending upon us.
Did you have that realization like right in the middle of the moment like that? Oh God, I fucked up. And then that, oh God, I fucked up, like washed over you right in the middle of you trying to protect her and it becoming like a scene. And I don't know. Did that affect you? How did that affect you? Like continuing to go forward? How embarrassing was that?
It wasn't really, because to answer your first question, I only realized that as I was trying to explain to her that an enormous spider two times the size of your head was about to eat us. But as I'm saying, I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm looking around. I don't see any spider because this
clearly no evidence.
This motherfucker would be pretty evident. Right. But yeah, no, there wasn't any like embarrassment thereafter. If anything, maybe what she had said thereafter made me feel better about it because we ended up being pretty funny. But yeah, that was terrifying for a moment, just having an enormous spider descend upon us and me ripping my girlfriend out of bed while she's in a dead sleep.
So I want to get you guys' opinion, chat. And before we move on a little bit here, I want to make sure that everybody knows, because we have not quite done this yet, that if you are not listening to the live show at the moment and you are listening to the YouTube recording or the podcast, then you can indeed listen live every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern. It is on YouTube, youtube.com/simulationradio and twitch.tv/simulationradio. And I want to bring this next issue to all of you guys, chat, which is that I need to get your opinion. I need to get the commenter's opinion, because I don't know if I've completely made up my mind about this video yet. And you and I, we're all going to watch it together. And the common general consensus amongst this new Beijing Winter Olympics video that China has put out is that, you know, it's pretty cringe. Now, of course, all of the people on Chinese social media on their platform, Weibo, which is kind of like Chinese Reddit or Chinese Twitter, somewhat, depending on how you want to compare them. But they've given it upwards of 2 million thumbs up. Like, yeah, it's great. It's huge. As if they put a thumbs down, then a Chinese statesman officially is going to walk into their house and blow their fucking brains out, because that might be what happens. But I want to hear what us, the Western audience, thinks about this, because now that this video has been posted by Chinese state media to be accessible to the West, people in the West are not quite as enthused about this. Now, of course, the Beijing Olympics are set to take place from February 4th to the 20th. Nice. And this is a music video that, you know, some people are calling cringe. Put on your cringe detector hats, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to go through this with you. So, of course, be sure, if you're watching the YouTube recording, to leave a comment about this. Let me know what you think about this video. Is this cringe, or is this just kind of acceptable? And we'll take a look at this, because I want to get all of you guys' perspective on this as well. It's a music video. It's called Join Us in Winter.
Majestic mountains.
Not propaganda.
Looks like a 13-year-old created it.
Nuclear power plants. 2020.
Nice mic. To see the graceful, grateful. Come on, keep trying. Time for us to shine. Seems okay so far. Very English. There's a part coming up that I think
be pretty evident.
Yeah.
So far, it's not bad.
So far, it's all right. I love Curly. Seems normal so far. Look at a sky skis fly. What a backflip. Somebody's dancing on the ice. His fingers hitting. No doubt that's a beautiful competition. I love winter. And I love Olympics as well. I love Olympics as well. Keep in mind, this is China that's making this. Mm-hmm. Because they care about every race and color. Yay, happy little kids and Chinese culture. I don't know, man. This seems pretty normal to me.
I'm not put off by it.
I haven't really seen anything that's been like overtly cringy.
I mean, obviously these bits here are a little bit cringy.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's still kind of it fits the relevance of the worldwide culture.
And I wouldn't call it over the top cringe either. No. Like it's I'd say like maybe on a scale up to 10, it's maybe like 3 or 4 cringe. It's not too bad.
And you also have to realize that it's they got to keep it kind of family friendly.
Yeah, of course.
And fall within, you know, guidelines of different standards for communications and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, it's that. But also we have to consider that this isn't their first language either. And based on that information, I feel like they did a good job. You know, the only downside I'd say was some of the choices with the rap lyrics, but you know what? They're making the best of what they can with what they know. And, you know, I don't know. I think that it's a perfectly fine message.
I don't even know how prevalent the hip hop industry is in China.
Now, one of the things that is causing it to get heat from people here in the West that is causing the West to call it cringe is that it's starring Chinese actors and singers, and I am not even going to try to pronounce these names here, but they're known for their tunes targeting perceived enemies of the Chinese government. And others are calling lyrics cringy, saying that the title was misaligned with strict travel restrictions in China and for the game, such as a mandated quarantine for most visitors to visit the country and the decision to not sell any tickets locally because the games will be held in a bubble that strictly separates athletes and other games personnel from the public. So, you know, the whole message of come join us, let's all be together and come.
I mean,
but, you know, that's kind of how
many
it works.
People like. Like, granted, yeah, you have, like, the families of the athletes that want to be there for support. But, like, at the same time, like, we live in the fucking 21st century. We live stream fucking everything.
And that's more or less what they mean when they say come
that's
join us.
That's what I feel like
come,
when they're
come
talking
watch
about.
The game.
Right. Come join us, you know, in any way that you can, because they obviously still look at those demographics and stuff. Sure, in-person support is a huge deal for, you know, athletes and individuals. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you're still going to be able to enjoy it.
But to Cameron's point, they're restricting who can actually purchase tickets. There's only going to be pretty much the elite or the Chinese populace who's going to be able to attend. But you know what? We're in the middle of a very quick and painless pandemic. So it's understandable. I don't see anything wrong with the video. It's it is what it is. It was just too long.
Really, leave it to social media users to drastically overreact to things and to take everything literally.
Right. Those SJWs, man.
I don't know what that...
I'm not going to...
What is an SJW?
You don't remember what an SJW is?
Nope.
Social Justice Warrior.
I'm not going to touch this one because that is going to be like a 15-minute conversation, and we have got approximately 40 seconds until we have to go to break. So let me know what you guys think. Make sure that you're following at Simulation Radio on all of the socials. That is at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for now. And, you know, it's not opposite day anymore, so I can say that follow on TikTok, I guess. Look, I legitimately used one of the clips for this week's Simulation Radio Live on an opposite day bit where I kind of I did the classic TikTok railing.
I saw that.
And,
saw
that. You know, but and the worst thing about it is that I actually have good ideas for TikToks, and so fuck.
Let's run it.
No, shut up.
Hey man, be the change you want to see. Make TikTok what you want it to be.
That's, make your TikTok
that
what you
actually
want it to be.
Is a lot of the things that I have some ideas for, like the anti TikTok and making like a TikTok. Not parodying content, but TikTok, like, jabbing content. Like, jabbing at TikTok content. And that's a lot of the ideas for some stuff that I have for the at Simulation Radio TikTok. So, follow all of those things. Make sure to leave a comment on what you thought about this video. Because did this set off your cringe sensors? I really want to know. Because, honestly, from the comments that people on social media were leaving, I was led to believe that, you know, this would be a lot more cringe than it ended up being. It just ended up kind of being standard China. Please cheer for us. And, you know, if anybody... any of the singers expressed displeasure at all, then of course a Chinese official will barge into the studio and just put a fucking bullet through their brains. Blam! But you know,
but make sure that they record it first.
Right,
and then they'll get like 15 lookalikes to make sure and cover it up.
So when we come back, we will hear from our favorite person in the news cycle. We will hear from our friend Sheriff JD Grudd once again. And
JD
we
Grudd.
Will Did I get it wrong? Oh,
I didn't even catch it.
I didn't either.
No, it's
fucking,
fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. I thought
either.
It was a bit, but
yeah, no, it wasn't even.
I almost was going to let you run with it, but I was like, I think he didn't mean to say that.
No, yeah.
Grady Judd.
Yeah, Grady Judd. That's what I meant. Look, the last time I ended up calling him Chef Grady Judd. Chef Grady Judd. No.
Hey, man.
I did
the
a
man
whole
probably
bit.
Can cook too.
I did a whole bit on Simulation Radio Live where I just didn't correct myself the last time I went over one of his things, and I just ended up calling him Chef Grady Judd the whole time instead of Sheriff Grady Judd. So we will hear from him when we come back, and then we will play the game show that was inspired by this beautiful man that will grace our ear holes once again very soon. And you can join us. You have the opportunity to join us along in our game show and could potentially have the opportunity to win some things. So I'll start talking about the process of how that is going to work. And then, of course, we will pit Johnny Horndog and Justin against each other in the battle to the death. And then we will we'll close it out with our nice little AI script.
Yeah.
When we come back.
Simulation Radio. Simulation Radio.
Operation Swipe Left for Meth. is the title of the operation that the Polk County Sheriff's Office was responsible for doing over the last couple of months. And I gotta say, I was a little confused because I did not know that it was possible to swipe left for meth. But I guess people in Polk County have figured it out.
It's the meth capital of the state, man.
The investigation began in July 2021 when the Polk County Sheriff's Office received a Heartland Crime Stoppers tip indicating that people were openly selling drugs on apps like Grindr, Scruff, and Tymee. And I've never heard of Scruff and Tymee before. Have you guys heard of those before? Have you? I'm not even going to venture so far as to say you've used them before.
Maybe? I just downloaded them after I knew that you could swipe right for drugs.
See, the thing is, the one Scruff in particular, it sounds like that one's got to be the bear dating app, right? Like, there's nothing else that could be. I'm taking an educated guess here.
So one Scruff. What's the other one?
Tymee. T-A-I-M-I. I'm curious what the user base is for that one. Now, these Polk County Sheriff's Office detectives created undercover profiles within the app and found it relatively easy to strike up conversations with people who were selling meth, coke, ecstasy, LSD, fentanyl, and marijuana in Polk County. And the suspect's primary purpose for being on that dating app was to sell drugs. But then in comes Sheriff Grady Judd. He is on the case, ladies and gentlemen, because he came up with a sting operation that the Polk County Sheriff's Office began, and they ended up filing 159 total felonies and 72 total misdemeanor charges against the subjects or the suspects during the investigation. So what he would do is he would send his deputies onto these apps to do undercover work. And, you know, let's hear from the man himself, because he describes the process of how he went about this, and he explains it in just the greatest way. And I love him, man. He is so fucking entertaining.
We've ever done an investigation like this. They were totally bold and totally brave. But what I'm going to tell you next,
the officers are bold and brave for signing up for a,
yeah,
you can't even make this stuff up.
LGBTQ plus dating profile.
The mood.
So brave.
For you. We swiped left. We talked to this person.
Wow.
I'll sell you some marijuana. Our undercover detective arrives at the door and he knocks. A fella opens the door. The house is dark except for mood lights.
Mood lights.
And candles. We said, we're here to buy the marijuana. And he said, well, it's down the hall in the bedroom.
Ooh la la.
So our undercover detective said, you know, I'm really uncomfortable about this because we just have mood lights and candles. So he says, you know, I'm checking out the rooms the best I can clear them in an undercover capacity as I walk down the hall and into a bedroom.
And what
and there in this
next?
Bedroom is a man laying on his back. Mm-hmm. And another person, let's just say, engaged in erotic conduct.
that eyebrow raise.
Erotic conduct.
The detective looks, and there's pornography playing on the television and candles all around. And the guy laying on his back while engaged in erotic activity is petting a puppy.
Finish him!
A Pomeranian.
To be precise.
We had to know that.
He says, I'm here to buy the marijuana. The other fella, John Panzarella.
My favorite part of Grady Judd press conferences is when he gets a cardboard, like a literal cardboard picture of the suspect and just plops it right on the fucking podium.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a staple. It's a cornerstone of Sheriff Grady Judd. And I love that. You know, in a different life, he could have been a performer, man. He's good.
The man knows how to talk to the public.
Engaged in inappropriate conduct. He says, hey man, it's on the table. Just take it and leave. And he continues his inappropriate conduct while the guy on the bed is petting the puppy. So we took the marijuana and left.
It's a wholesome scene, really.
But we returned to arrest John Panzarella for delivery of drugs to us. You can't make this stuff up. He didn't even stop long enough to complete the dope deal and collect his money.
Dope dealing.
Just take the marijuana and leave. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't want to lose your hard on, so.
No, yeah, that's true. So this was one of the greater than 100 cases that the Polk County Sheriff's Office went undercover and began a sting operation to try to kind of figure out here. And based on the online drug sales, detectives obtained 52 arrest warrants for those who actually ended up selling the illegal narcotics. And during the investigation, they arrested 16 other suspects related to illegal narcotics. And of the 159 charges that they're meaning to press against these people, there are still only 8 of those suspects with warrants who are at large. So they caught all but 8 of the 159 total felonies that they were able to charge against some of these people. And so how great of a press conference this was, and the sting operation that happened here, it convinced
me. I have some concerns about this, though. Mm-hmm. Because he said, swipe left for meth, right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck were they talking about marijuana?
It's all the drugs. Every drug is bad.
That's just one example. That's just one case that of the 159 of them. And the operation swipe left for meth was just the name of the operation. I don't think it's meant to be taken completely literally. Meth was one of the drugs that they were finding that people were selling on these Grindr, Scruff, and Timee apps. Did you end up finding what the Timee app is for? Who's the demographic for that one?
They seem to all be of the gay community. All three of these are essentially targeting the gay community for, you know, finding these drugs, but only on the gay dating apps.
I see. And so meth was not the only thing, and marijuana was not the only thing that they were looking for. It was a long list of meth, coke, ecstasy, LSD, fentanyl, and also weed, which I cannot imagine that would be at the top of their concerns, but if they're looking for high-level black market dealers, then I guess it sort of makes sense. And so the greatness of this sting operation, that is what gave me the spark this week to do a little bit more research into some other contentious sting operations or journalistic, you know, it not necessarily sting operations, but also, you know, journalism outings, how journalists can, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but how journalists go undercover and undercover really big stories. So undercover journalism, sting operations. And so I did some research into some of the most fun undercover operations that either police or journalists have done over the years throughout the world. And so that will be the theme for tonight's edition of Let's Play a Game Show. So we've got 10 of these operations that I will ask you about. They are multiple choice questions, and so that will hopefully make this one a little bit easier and more streamlined to run through. Now, and by 10, I mean 9 questions. So the first 3 questions will be worth 2 points. The second 3 questions will be worth 3 points. And the final 3 questions will be worth 4 points each. And somebody will be claiming the points on each of those questions. Because, you know, if you get one of the answers wrong, then we'll switch back and forth until all 4 of the multiple choice questions are answered. And so I got to do some quick mental math here as to how many points are up for grabs. So let's see. We got 12 plus 9, that's 21, plus another 6 is 27. So we've got 27 points up for grabs tonight, fellas. And somebody could win all 27 of those and leave the other person with jack shit. Now, to give you an update here, we are running very close, fellas. It is still within striking distance for both of you because Johnny Horndog is in the lead with 32 points and Justin just barely trailing behind him with 29.
Nipping at those heels.
Anybody's game tonight. Plus, we have the added side bet of who will get to play the main character in the AI script tonight. The winner of tonight's game show, whoever gets the most points tonight, will get to pick the character that they want to play when we do the game show. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to, if you want your trip to Hollywood, fellas, you are going to want to put on a fine lead character, protagonist-like performance, and we will begin the game. So, let's see. As the point trailer, Justin, you will get to answer first. Now, again, these are multiple choice questions, and we will I'll give you all the four options, and if you get it wrong, we'll cross that one off the list, and we will keep going back and forth until somebody racks up these points.
It's going to be like, who wants to be a millionaire?
Somewhat. So we start off with the organization called Acorn. They are a collection of community-based organizations in the U.S. that advocated for low and moderate income families. They provided info on voter registration and affordable housing, and in 2009, selectively edited videos, according to this website, were released by two young conservative activists who you might know from Project Veritas, James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. They dressed up like a pimp and a prostitute and then used a hidden camera to elicit damaging responses from Acorn employees and higher-ups that appeared to advise them on how to hide prostitution activities and avoid taxes. That's not really something that you want to be doing as a community-based organization that is trying to help low-end, moderate.
Away from that tax.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Acorn workers did not really seem to be put off by the request for help in getting franchising or financing for a brothel. This created a nationwide controversy, resulting in the loss of government funding and private donors. On March 22, 2010, Acorn announced that it was closing all remaining affiliated state chapters and disbanded due to falling revenue. And so the question here is, what does Acorn stand for? And I've got four options, and I will list them all. So option A, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. That's A. Option B is Advancement of Community Order by Revamped Networking. Option C is Association of Community Operations of Renewed Neutrality. Or D, Association of Community Oligarchs Ruining Networks.
All right, so you don't have these written down without the answers present, do you?
No, I don't.
Separately, so I can, like, look at them?
No, I don't. I'll read them out to you again if you want to.
Please.
So we've got the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. Ooh.
Can you say that one more time?
The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now.
Okay.
That's one option. Option B is Advancement of Community Order by Revamped Networking. That could be Acorn. I wonder. Option C is the Association of Community Operations for Renewed Neutrality. I wonder if that one's Acorn. That one could be it, too. And then letter D, is the Association of Community Oligarchs Ruining Networks.
I'm going to go with option A, final answer.
Option A, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. Well, you made the right choice. So that is a two-pointer for Justin. And we move on to the next question. John, you will get to pick the first answer on this one. This one is a sting operation that happened in India. It was the biggest undercover news story in Indian journalism. In 2001, a popular newspaper from India launched this sting operation to expose the alleged culture of bribery in the Ministry of Defense in India. What they did was they had two reporters pose as arms dealers from a bogus company in London, and the undercover video shows several politicians and defense officials, including the Secretary of Defense, from the ruling party discussing and taking bribes for helping them procure government contracts. And then, you know, the tapes were made public, all of these industry figures resigned, and several other ministry officials were suspended. What
Damn,
was...
Were these individuals murdered? Like, that's some
probably,
fucking, like,
I mean,
heavy shit right
this
there.
This happened in 2001, and this is big stuff, and you know what happens with big conspiracies. People just disappear. So, the question here, what was the name of this sting operation? Was it A, Operation Dark Impact, Operation B, or B, Operation Secret Gandhi, C, Operation West End, or D, Operation Spicy Curry? Tough choice. Tough choices here.
What was the last one? Spicy Curry?
Yes, Operation Spicy Curry.
Let's go with... let's go with A, Dark Impact.
Operation Dark Impact is incorrect. So, Justin, do you want to hear your options again?
Please.
We've got three of them. So, we are down to three. One of them being Operation Secret Gandhi, Operation West End, or, of course, Operation Spicy Curry.
Operation West End.
Operation West End is...
Damn, that was going to be my answer.
Way to go.
Correlation there, because they're from London. In London, there's a place of London called West End. That's I don't know. That's my correlation with it.
He's using prior knowledge, which, you know, as we've learned, is not necessary to play the game.
But it works for multiple choice things.
It works nonetheless, yeah. That is why I made this one multiple choice, was to make this one a little bit easier. So the next one, the next sting operation that we go to is from Sarah Ferguson, and in May 2010 she fell prey to a journalist for the tabloid newspaper News of the World. She posed as an international tycoon and was able to arrange a meeting with this journalist. During the meeting, she was secretly videotaped and offered to connect the tycoon with the powerful inner circle of her ex-husband Prince Andrew. On the tape, she is heard saying, oh, shit, I can't do the accent. Fuck. I got to channel it, man. £500,000 when you can to me. Open doors. And she is also seen taking away a briefcase containing just a casual $40,000 in cash. Her spokesperson said that she was both devastated and regretful after the reporting of the incident. And she ended up giving a tell-all interview with a certain celebrity that said that she had been drinking prior to soliciting the cash and was in the gutter at that moment. Now, which interview did she give the tell-all interview with? And there are, of course, four options here. Did she give the tell-all, the exclusive, to George Stephanopoulos, to Oprah Winfrey, to Dr. Phil, or to Jerry Springer?
And what year was this?
This was in May of 2010.
What was option C?
Dr. Phil. We've got George Stephanopoulos, Oprah, Dr. Phil, or Jerry Springer.
A.
So you're going with George Stephanopoulos.
Yes.
Ooh, not it.
Okay.
John, do you want your options again?
The answer is B.
B. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey. He's going with old Oprah. And... that'll pay off for him.
It was one of those two. Who's kind of interview is going to be on Dr. Phil or Jerry Springer in that regard? A tell-all? I don't think so.
Ending round one, we have got Justin at 4 points and John at 2. And we will move on to round two, where the answers are worth 3 points. And now we move over to Larry Craig. Do you guys remember him? Old Senator Larry Craig? Now, what?
Oh, my leg!
Now, what his...
Correlation.
I forgot whose turn it is. It's your turn now, right, John?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So, in June of 2007, Idaho Senator Larry Craig was arrested by an undercover police officer who was conducting a sting operation against men cruising for sex at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Is this starting to jog your memory a little bit? Arresting officers said that he went into a stall shortly after noon and closed the door. Craig then entered the stall next to him, and he did this sex-hiding thing where he would put his luggage against the front of the stall door. This is to stop people from, you know, seeing all the bad stuff that's going on inside the bathroom
things.
Stall. Minutes later, the officer saw Senator Craig peering into his stall through a crack and then did a certain gesture that was the trigger that I guess is a trigger for people that are like guys that are wanting to have sex with each other,
like the signal or whatever.
Yeah, it gave the certain signal and then moved it closer to the officer's part that is relevant here until their feet touched. Craig then passed his hand under the stall divider into Garcinia's stall with his palm up and guided it along the divider toward the front of the stall three times. She then waved her badge back at him, and that's when he goes, "Oh no, I can't believe it," because he knew that he had been caught at that point. He claimed that he was just, "I just had a wide stance. I wasn't trying to solicit sex from anybody." And there's a certain catcall for underage sex that is at play here. And what was his secret boy sex call, John? We have got four options here. Is it to tap his right foot several times? Is it to poke his finger under the stall? Is it to tap on the stall wall a couple of times? Or is it to yell, "I'm a pedo, do you want to fuck?" Tough choices here.
D, final answer. No, okay.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go with tap the stall.
Tap the stall.
Let's see.
That is not it. You want to hear your options again, Justin?
So it's clearly not D. So what are the other two?
I don't know. It could be D. We don't know that. So the other options are to tap his right foot several times, to poke his finger under the stall, and I'm going to give the other option again just so I can say it, or to yell, "I'm a pedo, do you want to fuck?"
I'm going to say tap the right foot several times.
Tap the right foot several times. Yeah, and
it's very subtle. Very subtle. Off. Subtle but noticeable if you're looking for it.
So that's 3 points. That was the hidden sex call that he was using to try and lure boys.
That's what I thought it was from the recall, trying to recall the story, was that he like tapped his foot. It was either tapped his foot or he reached under and like tapped the foot of the other individual.
Justin, I think you're going to like this next question, and fortunately you get to answer it first, because this question is about bait cars. The first bait cars were used in the 90s by the Minneapolis Police Department, and there's a certain city that's known as the car theft capital of North America. Now, these bait cars are specifically modified with audio and video surveillance and GPS tracking technology,
and a cool
and
kill switch.
Can be remotely controlled to disable the engine. Yes, the kill switch. Since 2004, when it was launched in this city, it has contributed to a 47% drop in auto theft. And one of the more controversial bait car stings occurred in 2008 in Dallas, Texas, when a woman was killed almost instantly when a thief driving a bait car slammed right the fuck into her, and her family was awarded $245,000 to settle the lawsuit. Now, this car theft capital of North America that I was talking about also happens to be the home of the largest bait car fleet. And that is in which city? We have got four options: New York, Detroit, Vancouver, or Tijuana, Mexico.
I'm gonna go Vancouver.
Vancouver. He is going with Vancouver. It seems like an out there option.
It's an out there option.
It is an out there option, especially
given. Surprising.
You really, the answer Detroit didn't tempt you at all, because Detroit is known as a shithole.
Yeah, but it's a little too on the nose for it. But that's it. Vancouver.
And it paid off.
Wow.
That is another 3 points, putting Justin at
clearly,
10.
Clearly not Tijuana. New York, that would just not. No. That's not their shtick.
We have got one more question in round two, and Justin is really running away with it with 10 points to John's 2. But there is still plenty of game
he's got room to catch
left
up.
To be played here, fellas. And now we go over to D.C. Mayor Marion Barry. He is a well-known politician and longtime mayor of Washington, D.C., who coincidentally, after the scandal, is still serving on the D.C. City Council, funnily enough. And the incident started on December 22nd, 1988. Police officers were about to make an undercover drug buy from Charles Lewis, a former Virgin Islands official, and were called back when they learned that Mayor Barry was in Lewis's hotel room. This led to a big old grand jury investigation into possible interference by the mayor in this drug investigation. He appeared before the grand jury, testified for 3 hours, and told reporters, "No, I did nothing wrong." And then later on in 1990,
I did not inhale.
In 1990, the FBI and DC police set up a sting operation and arrested him in a Washington, DC hotel after he did this in a room with his former girlfriend, who just so happened to become an FBI informant. Now, what did he do with this FBI informant? Are our options. We've got smoked crack cocaine. We've got injected heroin. Did he smoke marijuana, or did he drink 69 Red Bulls? DC history. Happened in the 80s.
This is back in 1990?
Yes, the sting ended up happening in 1990, despite the fact that the investigation was going on for up to 2 years before that.
Well, at this time, we know that marijuana was more criminalized than it is today. I feel like that would be more likely, especially if he's still holding a seat. I'm going to go with he smoked weed.
He smoked weed. Wow. Not going to be it. Do you want to hear the answers again, Justin, or do you already
know? Joe Rogan.
It's a crack cocaine.
It is.
It's
it
crack
is.
Cocaine.
God damn it.
The smoke. 80s. The 80s, well, that was the, like, how meth is, like, the early 2000s was real bad for meth being real prevalent in like these low income areas. Crack cocaine in the late 80s, early 90s was real bad.
So let's give everybody an update as to the point total heading into our final round of the Sting Operation game. We have got Justin running away with it at 13 points and John at 2 points. But we still have some game to be played because all three of the questions in round three will be worth four, count them, 4 points each.
I have what, 13?
Yeah, you have 13. Points. 13 to 2 is the score here. So Justin seems to be...
Yeah, he could run this round and still won't beat me.
Really? That's 12 points up for grabs here. So that
oh, is on it, top of that, yeah.
Wait,
there are 4 points each. We got three many, questions. So...
Oh, never mind. My math was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just need one to clutch it.
You're better at the trivia game than you are math. So
listen, my head is so foggy right now.
At least you're getting there with what really matters, which is the game itself. So now we go over to what might be my favorite question of the evening. And to give you an idea as to what we're going to be talking about here.
Why don't you have a seat right there, please?
Now, perverted justice stings. And John, it's your turn now, right? Or is it okay?
It's Justin's turn.
So, perverted justice is an organization that carries out sting operations by having volunteers pose as 10 to 15 year old minors on chat sites. They got notoriety by working with the infamous To Catch a Predator and good old Chris Hansen.
Good. Why don't you have a seat right over there?
Yeah. I'm already seated, Chris Hansen. I don't need this. Then they try to identify the men by obtaining their telephone numbers and other details so that a meeting can be arranged. You know how the whole thing sets up. They go into chat rooms, try to, you know, fuck with 10 to 15 year old boys, and then
or girls
too, you know, but it seemed to be mostly very creepy fat pedos preying on boys, but not going to exclude it here.
Sure.
The organization then passes the information on to law enforcement, and they also collaborate with To Catch a Predator. Now, one of the most controversial cases that happened on To Catch a Predator occurred in 2006 in this state, where Lewis Conrad pictured, well, I'll show you this guy's picture after we get through the question here, was a district attorney in this state and posed as a 19-year-old university student and engaged in sexually charged online chats with somebody who he believed was a 13-year-old boy. After Conrad asked for pictures of the boy's penis, they brought in an actor to play the boy over the phone. And then when the attorney stopped responding to phone calls and instant messages, police and the reality show decided to bring the operation to Conrad's home with a search warrant. And when officers moved in to make the arrest, they heard... And they found him inside with a self-inflicted wound, and he died at the hospital. Now... The most controversial case that happened on this show occurred in which state? Was it Florida? Was it California? Was it Texas? Or was it New York?
What's the guy's name again?
It was Lewis Conrad. It was C-O-N-R-A-D-T.
You are a fast mover. Please have a seat right there.
I got three of these.
One more time with the options.
Florida, Cali, Texas, or New York. The big old states.
New York.
New York. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
And not going to be it. John, you have a chance to start making some ground here.
Let's go Texas.
Texas, final answer. And... it'll pay off. So John brings his point total up to 6, and Justin's at 13. Only needs one more to close it out, but we've still got 2 questions left to go. So this still could be anybody's game. And these next 2 are going to be hard, so they are going to be worth their 4 points. Now, there's a woman named Rachel Hoffman, and during a traffic stop in Tallahassee, Florida, on February 22nd of 2007, she was caught with a casual 25 grams of marijuana. And then on April 17th, 2008, police searched her apartment and uncovered a casual 151 grams of cannabis and 4 ecstasy pills. She was reportedly told by police that she would go to prison unless she became an undercover informant for them. She was then
sent... all for personal use anyway, right?
Yeah, all for personal use. She was then sent untrained to an undercover meeting to buy a large amount of drugs and a handgun from 2 suspected drug dealers. While she was at the drug buy, the suspect changed the location of the buy. The policemen were monitoring the sting, lost track of her when she left the buy spot with the 2 suspects in their car, and while in transit, the 2 suspects executed her with the same gun that she was supposed to buy. Her body was recovered 2 days later on December 17th, 2009, which would have been her 25th birthday. One of the murder suspects was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life without parole. The second murder suspect was scheduled for trial in October 2010. This is an old article. So, on May 7th, 2009, a law called Rachel's Law was passed by the Florida State Senate because of this case, and this forced law enforcement agencies to, John, A, give special training to informants, B, allow informants to opt out of cases that are potentially deadly, C, disclose the severity of the ongoing case, or D, only accept sexual favors for special treatment. Only allowed. That's it.
Let's go with disclose the severity.
Disclose the severity of the ongoing case. Justin, do you want to hear your options again?
Yes.
We've got A, give special training to informants, B, allow informants to opt out of potentially deadly cases, or D, only accept sexual favors for special treatment. I don't know. Could be that one.
A.
A, give special training to informants, and he is going to lock it in. He is going to lock in his victory, but we've still got one more question for the overall game.
Because that was the whole thing about it. She was untrained.
Yeah. Did you know about this case beforehand?
I knew a vague amount about the law, about that law.
Oh, really?
Because of other cases since then that have come up about, using informants or using people as informants.
So we have got one more question to go, and it is about the Canadian technique. It was developed by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in the early 90s for unsolved homicides. It's used mostly in Canada and Australia, but is considered entrapment in many other countries, including here in the U.S. and in England. The technique works something like an undercover police unit poses as members of a fictitious gang into which the suspect is inducted. So later, the suspect is invited to participate in a series of criminal activities that are all faked by the police. The gang members build a personal relationship with the suspect by drinking together and doing other social activities. After a period of time, he is introduced to the gang leader. The suspect is told that the police have a renewed interest in the original crime and to give the gang further details. They explain that this gang leader that has a specific name may have the ability to influence the police investigation, but only if he admits all of the details of the crime. He is told that he must be completely clear about any other past crimes, or the gang may not be willing to continue to work with him because he would become a liability. Now, this is called the Canadian technique. It might be considered an entrapment. Now, the key figure behind this is this gang leader that they're all trying to get to know. And the name of the technique is named after what they call the gang leader. And that technique, whose turn is it? I forget. And that gang leader has a name and the technique is named after it. Is it A, the Canadian Angels technique? Is it B, the Mr. Big technique? Is it C, the Tony Montana technique? Or is it D, the Godfather technique?
What were the first two?
The Canadian Angels technique, the Mr. Big technique, and then we've got the Tony Montana technique or the Godfather technique. This is a tough one.
I'll go with B.
B, the Mr. Big technique.
Yeah.
And that will catapult you into the Let's Play a Game Show hierarchy. So that will conclude the round of questioning. And now let's go over the points, fellas. At 21 points for today, we have got Justin, and at 6 points for today, we've got John. So that means that Justin will get to pick whether or not he wants to play the titular character in our AI script reading. So overall, that puts our total to Justin at 40 and John at 38. So
still a close game.
Now Justin is slightly in the lead and John is just barely trailing behind, but we will have a couple more opportunities before the ending of season one of Let's Play Game Show. We've got, I think, another 5 weeks before we're closing it out. So plenty of opportunities to get there. But for now, that will conclude Let's Play a Game Show. So do you guys have your scripts ready?
Is it just the one page?
Yeah, it's just that one page. And I got to pull it up here too. I would have, probably should have gotten ready at this point. But, you know, this AI script that we have, and I will explain it again in case you were not joining us at the beginning of the show. We have a robot that takes in 1,000 hours of content and produces an algorithm-generated script of that piece of content. And I really, really enjoyed this week's. I haven't completely gone through and read it yet because I kind of wanted to leave it a surprise, even though I've only got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. And this one is going to be mostly you guys. Now, before we get into the part picking, I will give you all a clue as to what tonight's 1,000 hours of content will be. Of course, we've been watching it. We've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm lately, and I'm not going to lie, this is such an underappreciated show. It's great, man. I would almost say that I like it more than Seinfeld, because it's,
we know how much you like Seinfeld. That's right, a big statement.
I do. It's at least it's at least on equal level with it, because there's something about it that's just like I love the Seinfeld style of like how 90s animated acting it is, but at the same time, Curb is more of a modern take on Seinfeld, and I think it's more realistic at the very least. And honestly, I'm kind of with the Larry David on a lot of his points of view on social situations. I mean, not all of them, but at the very least, a good portion of them. So we have got two parts in addition to the narrator, which I will play. And Justin, as the winner of Let's Play a Game Show, you will get your choice. Do you want to play Larry David?
I actually don't.
Really? You don't?
I don't want to play
You don't want to play Larry David. Oh, man. Which means, John, you'll get to play.
Because I can't do even remotely close to that accent.
That's respectable. That's respectable.
And I don't want to taint his name in that regard.
That's respectable. You know what? I respect your decision very heartily, because
especially with my voice already being screwed up right
you're
now.
You're kind of scratchy right now. I don't think it would completely
scratchy
work
and it a little stuffy.
Yeah. So instead, you'll get to play the baker. So
good.
Good. So we have, of course, 1,000 hours of Curb Your Enthusiasm that an AI script wrote, and we will, I'll set the stage a little bit. And action. We're in the interior of a bakery store. Larry David, man who built Jerry Seinfeld, talks to a baker.
I'm picking up cookies. Do not make a big deal of this encounter.
We are out of cookies. We have bread. It is same idea.
Bread? Bread is not cookies.
The similarities are large. Both are flour given a purpose.
Oh? Would cookies monster eat bread? Answer that, you donut.
Baker eats a cookie. He said he did not have. He computers.
Computer says your order is fake. Maybe you made a mistake. I make cookies. You make mistakes.
Am I on planet insane? Those are cookies. Let me own those cookies.
Larry points at 300 cookies inside a case made of cookies.
Those are display for the eyes. Display cookies for the eyes.
Oh, yeah? I'll display them in my stomach.
It's not how it works. First time in a store for you, angry man.
I was in a store before you were a baby donut. I speak fluent store.
Larry looks around, trying to locate life's logic.
Mr. Mad, leave my cookie hut.
You know, I leave because you don't bake cookies. You bake craziness.
Larry complains his way out of the store. A tuba begins playing music. Larry has a problem with this music.
Oh, God.
Credit roll.
It's great. So great.
I kind of want to watch some more of that. In fact, I am perfectly... All right. We'll fix that. I accidentally pressed... I was trying to move the mouse over to where the thing is, and so we'll have one less second of content, and 45 more minutes worth of work for me. So, thank you all for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. I was really, really eager to end the show there. Enough to where, you know, I didn't even say all the bits and play the outro or do anything. No, I just slammed that end record button and created, like, legitimately almost another hour's worth of work for myself. Oof. So that means that the show will be posted tomorrow. So expect the recording of the YouTube show and the podcast probably before noon tomorrow. In fact, I should probably be putting it out at a set schedule anyway, so expect that tomorrow. And of course, I love you all. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to follow at Simulation Radio on every single platform known to mankind, and I look forward to hearing from all of you. I mean, especially on, what is it, Teamy? Or what is it, that one? Well, it's at Simulation Radio on that one. So go follow it. Swipe right through all of the meth dealers until you find us, and then swipe left on us, and we might go over there and suck your dick. So I'm not saying that that's a promise, but...
I'll pet the dog.
I'll pet the dog, too. We'll get there.
Then we'll pet you, beautiful people.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening. I love you all. More than likely, we will do a Patreon show next week. Kind of tapped out for today because we went a little bit long doing the game show again. And I will see you all on Monday. I will see you all on Monday. But we, as a collective, will see you all next week. And with that in mind, you are all great. You have the hugest dicks and the largest tits. And
the sweetest muffin pies.
Well said. Bye.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is?